Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in everybody. Happy Tuesday. Didn't he always have a dance every time he scored? Maurice Jones-Drew.
Yeah.
Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony.
He used to get his dances from you, Jacksonville.
He did on occasion pull the good peeps of the city of Jacksonville to find out what they wanted him to do. He always had something. He always had a theme. Something going on. It was interesting, Tony, as Maurice Jones-Drew in the stadium today. We saw him earlier this morning. We'll talk with him in about 15 minutes here on Jaguars Today, and he'll have his official retirement press conference coming up at 11 o'clock, which you'll hear a good portion of right here on 1010XL as well. Maurice is the guy that, as we'll look back on his career in some part of the show today, is as much probably known for that play where he stoned Sean Merriman, not carrying the football, as he is for any one other single moment in his career. That's kind of the question of the day, is exactly what the question of the day is. What's your favorite memory of MJD's career? I think we'll see a lot of people referring to that moment, and certainly many other highlights that he had. Over 8,100 yards rushing in his career, led the National Football League with 1,606 yards on a pretty bad Jaguar team in 2011. One of three consecutive years where he went over 1,300 yards for the Jags. It was a touchdown machine early.
Yep.
And a good receiver out of the backfield. There wasn't really an aspect of his game that was a weakness, I don't think. And you don't see that often. And he carried that big chip on his shoulder. Whether the story was true or not, because I've heard different versions of the number 32 story over the years from him, that's why he selected 32, because 32 teams passed on him. That I don't know if that was 100% true or if that was written as fable after the fact. Maybe we'll get down to the bottom of that with Maurice today. But he's in the building and getting ready to embark, I guess, on a broadcast career. I don't guess. I know he's going to embark on a broadcast career, the length of which we'll get into some of that with him coming up today. 2 days away. It's getting close now.
I know. It's
almost here.
It's on top of us, basically.
Media mock draft tomorrow. Yep. We'll handle picks 1 through 16 with correspondents from around the National Football League. After a heated debate, we went back to the duo from Fox 30, CBS 47, sports director Brent Martineau, and intrepid sports icon Dan Hicken will duel in the war room, Tony. Last year, I think they came up with a consensus. I want to say it was a Sammy Watkins consensus.
I think it was.
Yeah. Right? Didn't happen that way, did it? Then they didn't.
No, didn't quite happen.
No, I don't even know if in 10 minutes of conversation when the Jags were on the clock last year in the media mock draft, if the name Blake Bortles crossed anyone's lips. Not sure.
I don't remember him.
Well, maybe we should just list about 8 or 10 guys this time around to try to cover our bases.
I don't know if you need 8 or 10.
I think it's
number 3.
I think it's going to be a smaller number, but will it be Leonard Williams? Will it be Dante Fowler? Will it be Amari Cooper? Todd Gurley getting some love now? I don't think it'll be Todd Gurley. I would look, as Jeff Prosser said this morning, I think many have expressed this opinion. At this point, I like them all. There's a good bunch of guys. You feel like you're going to get a really good player. You can see needs at the positions that are being discussed, wide receiver, running back, defensive line. You can see pass rush, certainly Leonard Williams. Do you need him specifically? Do you need really, really, really good players, I guess, would be the question.
Right.
Yes, you need the best players you could possibly put on this roster, and an opportunity to slide back a few spots. Some more reports out of Atlanta about the Falcons' desire to move up. D'Orlando Ledbetter thinks Dante Fowler's a target. There's another reporter, Brian McClure, is it, I think, in Atlanta. I may be getting the name wrong, but he said that he thinks that Leonard Williams would be the target of any trade-up possibility for the Atlanta Falcons. So even if the quarterbacks go 1-2, maybe there will be a market for the number 3 pick.
Interesting. The quarterbacks, we'll see how that whole thing plays out. And a lot of people are almost assuming at this point in time that somehow they're going to wind up going 1-2, right? I mean, that's the entire conversation right now. The two quarterbacks are going 1-2. And for Jaguars fans that are out there that are have been hoping for months now that they're going to get out of that three spot, trade down and pick up some bundle of picks so that we can go get four or five guys out of a deal this year. It looks less and less likely that the quarterback is going to be the trading option that you're going to have. There, number three, I think there is something to the Leonard Williams or Dante Fowler thing. You only have to have one team fall in love with them. And if the one team that is in love with that prospect more than any other prospect in the draft is drafting outside of the top three or four or five, then they feel they have to make a move to go get their guy. If that really is the guy that they like more than anybody else in this draft, then they are going to have to make a move to go get that guy. And Jacksonville, in that case, would be in the best position to be talking to those teams. And, by the way, if it is Atlanta that's moving in, if the Jags were in a position where they liked four or five guys about the same, like they make up their mind by Thursday that this is the guy if we're at three and we don't get the deal we want, but if we like four or five guys about the same, eight makes a ton of sense to move back down there. And whether you get a second-round pick this year, whatever you get in compensation, it's worth it if you are determined that you have four or five guys with about the same grade.
If you have five, you've got to hope, though, that they don't come off the board in those next five picks. And it's possible that they do. Let's presume the quarterbacks go 1-2, right? The Falcons trade up and take Leonard Williams. Let's say Amari Cooper goes to Oakland. Mm-hmm. Let's say the Jets Washington takes Dante Fowler, okay, right? And then all of a sudden, Todd Gurley goes to the New York Jets, which has been speculated in some circles.
Sure.
Right? Now what? Are you down to Vic Beasley? Are you down? We don't even know how they feel about Vic Beasley, right? We don't know how they feel about some of these other guys like Shane Ray and Randy Gregory. Shane Ray, add him to the list of yet another just incredibly poor timing award as he's driving around with marijuana speeding. Hey, keep it under the speed limit if you're going to be transporting there, Shane Ray. He said, I wasn't intoxicated or under the influence. Well, that's good. That's a positive. But, man, I mean, Tony, I honestly think that it'd be worth it maybe to pay somebody to just bring you meals for a week and not have to leave your house, right? Just someone please deliver everything I need. I'm not going anywhere for that last week. I've done all the meetings. I've done all the workouts. There's nothing. There's no team I'm meeting with in this stage of the process. Jack's coach is tomorrow going to take a couple hours off just to clear their heads. It's going to be over with at that point in time, and they're just wanting to get away from it before it gets serious on Thursday and they actually go through the process. They've done their homework at this point in time, but the only thing you can do now is hurt yourself, right? You can't help yourself anymore. Everyone knows all the positives. The only thing that can come up now is your name on a police blotter, and that's what Shane Ray got. Mark Domenech, former Buccaneer GM, right?
Yep.
Mark Domenech, on with Mike and Mike today, said that he thinks he could slide, Shane Ray could slide to the third or fourth round. That seems a little much. This is what he said this morning on Mike and Mike.
What is this kid going to do on Friday or Saturday night before a big game? Is he going to make another poor choice like this? And that's what you have to factor into it. So, yeah, Mike, I'm not condoning the marijuana, but it's just the timing is so bad that and the foot issue tells me that this guy's not only dropping out of the first round. I think this guy's dropping to the third or fourth round.
I don't know if somebody's – that's a bold proclamation unless somebody is telling him that. And obviously, he's got his own past experience to go on. I find it hard to believe that a guy that Bill Polian thinks is the clear-cut best pass rusher in the draft, by the way, who doesn't think the foot is an issue. It's a turf toe situation, not an ongoing chronic type thing. It's something that according to Polian, should heal with time and then not have any effect on his career the rest of the way. That he's going to fall because he got busted with pot. He's not getting a DUI. He's getting a citation. He's getting a ticket, basically. It's dumb. It's a bad decision.
Yep.
Is he falling to the third or fourth round? Come on.
I don't know about third or fourth round. I think he probably still winds up going late first or into the second round would be my guess. I mean, a team like New England, why not? Right? If you need a pass rusher and it gets down to the 32nd pick in the draft, why wouldn't you draft a guy like that?
If you think he's clearly the best talent on
right,
the board.
Right. Or a guy like Randy Gregory, which, by the way, Bob McKinn is doing linebackers today and his as he continues to go through the draft, some of the quotes on Randy Gregory are not good.
Not very complimentary.
I saw one where basically the quote was, "This guy's not a bad guy, he just has problems." Talking about the marijuana, like it's an anxiety thing
right.
for Randy Gregory. So now he's going to be in the most anxious environment he's ever been in his life. So how is he going to handle that once he gets there? But Shane Ray, look, this is a guy who There's no reason. The NFL doesn't care if you're smoking pot in your house. Don't care. They do not care what you're doing in your own home. So just don't do it out on the road. There's just no, just get home and do whatever you want to do.
And that's the thing. He wasn't smoking. He's saying, look, I wasn't. I was just, that's what I was doing. I was going home. I had to get it home somehow. Delivery, buddy.
Right.
Yeah. Get somebody you trust
or
to do it.
Or stay in one lane.
Guys, this is really going to hurt his wallet, too. Darren Rovell just tweeted this out. He said, slipping 10 spots from the middle of the first round to the late first round will cost Shane Ray about $2 million guaranteed.
Well, I mean, hey, he's got only himself to blame.
Just drive in one lane. They don't care how many players in the league are smoking weed. They really don't. The reason they have the drug testing is in place is so that they can have the appearance of caring about players who are doing something like that. So once you get yourself into the drug testing program, which he will with this thing, he'll be in the program. That's how this thing gets started. Now he's going to get tested randomly. All these different things are going to be in place. Now if he gets hit again, he's looking at suspensions. It's just, to put himself in that situation is beyond dumb.
All right. Shane Ray wasn't very high on a lot of Jaguar fans' thoughts and draft boards, but who knows?
36 is a different story.
It's a completely different story. You're much more willing to take a risk once you get outside of that range. And as we talked with Dave Caldwell last week, there's, as you said, the sweet spot may be Atlanta. He's not, I don't sense, barring the crazy blockbuster type offer that I don't think is coming, that he's moving out of that comfort zone where he feels like he can get that true elite guy. If it is, if they do have 3 to 5, they're going to do everything that they feel that they have a high, high percentage chance of landing one of those 3 to 5 guys and get what they deem to be a difference maker. If it is Gurley and you feel like you can get him at 8, maybe you take that chance and you move down with the Falcons if that offer comes. It was funny, Dave Caldwell walked by the studio yesterday as we're talking about this team not trading or trading or whatever, and he poked his head and he says, who's not trading? Just kind of like laughing like we would know really what's going on. Nobody knows that much of what's really going on behind the scenes, but it won't be too long now before we find out. Maurice Jones-Drew, one of the great all-time Jaguars, joins us in studio. Coming up next on the day he will officially sign a one-day contract and retire as a member of your Jacksonville Jaguars. That's coming up. Your calls today at 641-1010. You'll hear Maurice's press conference later on this morning as well, and a whole bunch more 2 days before the start of the NFL draft. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Jones through. Look at he's outspoxed them. He doesn't go in for the touchdown. He takes a knee at the 1 yard line.
And that's exactly what the Jets were trying to do, to get him into the end zone. I mean, you talk about a guy that gets it. On the field, off the field, Maurice Jones-Drew. Here he's turning down a touchdown to keep the clock going, to keep the game.
That is brilliant.
That's brilliant.
Already seen some votes for that as people's favorite moment with Maurice Jones-Drew, favorite memory of his career. Tony, very smart play against the Jets. Down a point at the time, 22-21, basically allowing the Jags to run it down and have Josh Scobie kicking the equivalent of an extra point and guarantee victory and not give the Jets any time left on the clock. You score there, even with a two-point conversion, you're up 7. And you give the other team, at that time, I want to say there's about a minute 45 on the clock when he went down and out of timeouts. Jags able to bleed it down. And certainly one of my top memories of Maurice Jones-Drew, because it led to SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio hiring him, because he apologized to his fantasy owners after the game. Hey, I know you want those touchdowns. Maurice has always been very sharp on the fantasy front.
Yep.
And that opened the door for little old me to piggyback and ride right on in on the back of number 32 to SiriusXM. So definitely, from a personal standpoint, one of my favorite moments. Mark Long tweeting at me. You see this one? At AP Mark Long. He said, Dempsey, your advice to Shane Ray is keep it under the speed limit, with 4 question marks following that. Come on, Dempsey. Yes. Yes, it is.
Yep.
That is my advice to Shane Ray. Hey, should I tell all these guys, should I wag my finger, tisk, tisk, don't smoke pot? Hey, personally, my feelings are it's going to be legal in a few years in most places in the United States. I understand it's not legal now. Your better choice would be not do it at all. But I'm trying to be pragmatic here. Do I think NFL players are not smoking marijuana? Do I think a lot of them are high-functioning marijuana users that are able to use it to dull pain, to or for recreation or whatever, and show up for work and still get their job done? I do.
Probably.
That there's a good number of the people who use it who are extremely high functioning in all walks of life. And from that standpoint, I'm just being an advocate for the guy to be smart at this time. Just don't get caught. If you're look, it's one thing. If he's smoking and he's driving and he's impaired, then throw him in the jail and lock away the, you know, throw away the key. Lock him up, throw away the key. I don't care. Anybody who gets behind the wheel impaired is endangering my life, my family's life, all that stuff. Apparently, that's not what he was doing. He got cited for possession. It's like he was walking down the street and he had it in his pocket, is basically the equivalent of it.
Essentially, yeah.
It's illegal, regardless. But if you don't, as you're walking down the street, do something to draw the attention of the police, your name would not be in the paper right now. If you're Shane Ray, if you just, you know, obeyed the rules of the road, gotten home safely, done your thing, nobody would be talking about Shane Ray. They'd still be questioning maybe his foot injury, what have you. But look at this. Look behind you, Tony. The next generation of Drews are coming down the hallway, I have a feeling. there's a whole bunch of them coming. Maurice in with Gus Bradley for the last few minutes. He's going to join us momentarily here to look back on his career here in the city of Jacksonville and tell us what his plans are going ahead.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard some whispers of where he will be winding up this fall, but I'll let him speak for himself on that front. And if he's not willing to share, maybe we'll spill the beans on him. That's the way we roll as far as that goes. So we've got that coming up as well. And the Tom Bush Family Dealership fan feedback question of the day today simply asks you to share your favorite memory of the career of number 32, Maurice Jones-Drew, as a Jacksonville Jaguar here. Plenty to choose from without question. And you can tweet us at MD_1010XL. At 1010XL, Fat Tony, at 1010XL, Tyler. And, man, does he roll with an entourage or what? I know most of it's family. He's got Adisa, his agent, down here. I know that microphone hog would love to come in here and talk right now. Not going to happen. And everywhere he goes, he's kind of like, I don't know, he's kind of like the Pied Piper, you know? You read the story on Jaguars.com where they compiled quotes from around the National Football League with some of the top opponents of the Jags throughout Maurice's career, and consistently the word you see is respect. Respect for the way he played the game, respect for him off the field. Look, everybody's at their faults, right? Nobody's a perfect person out there, and I'm sure people can point to any number of things they want to and say, well, this is why he isn't the perfect role model. Well, nobody is, okay? You should be your own kids' role models, but I think Maurice, certainly a good friend of mine, I'm biased in that regard, and I think he has represented this organization extremely well since the day he got into the National Football League, despite the fact that he went West Coast for the last calendar year. We'll get over that, I think, because, you know, he finally got around to switching his Twitter avatar back to Jaguar for Life. I think that will help. That will go a long way. You're looking sharp this morning. How are you?
It's an early morning.
What is it? You're on the West Coast. It's like 7:20 right now.
Yeah,
right?
I was up at 5, so I was hurting a little bit. It happens, though.
Yeah.
You know.
You enjoying life already? What's the diet like these days?
Well, it hasn't really been a diet. It's kind of a whatever I feel like in the morning, nachos if I want, 6 a.m.
So burgers. You're like me now, right?
Well, just for the first 2 months, and then I'm going to kind of start slowly getting back into it. Can't be on TV, and, you know, I have a face for TV. Not
right.
Radio.
I'm not going the TV route, and it's not happening for me, so I can continue to eat my way into a radio career. But
that's right.
We'll get to what you're going to be doing. You walk back in here today. I'm sure you've heard and seen some of the comments of your former opponents and teammates alike and what you impressed them with throughout your career. What is it like to be back today just to realize it's officially coming to a close as a member of the Jags?
You know, it's been great. It's something we've been talking about for a while now, a couple of months, and kind of in the plan. Even before I retired, we were talking about how when it was time, how we were going to end it. I think for me, it's not one of those emotional times because my agent here to the left kind of has been preparing me this since day one. You know, it's something he said earlier in my career that, you know, when you get to the NFL, you're in the back half of your career. I've been playing football 20 years and 9 of it I was getting paid for, you know, so it's been a great time. I've enjoyed it. Gave everything I had every time I played, and you know, it's just one of those things. It was time to hang them up and you know, enjoy life with my kids and my family.
I know you were out in Oakland last year, obviously, so you didn't get a chance to see all the new stuff here around the state. It was your first chance to see that.
So this is my problem. You know, I felt it was like it was a personal attack on me. Like I leave and then you get pools and screens and.
Well, I mean, apparently what we had before wasn't enough to keep you here, so they needed
just,
to do something to
I'm
upgrade.
Got to keep the next mojo here for his whole
right.
career, brother.
I'm just trying to figure this out. You know, it's just kind of like, okay, I go out there, I see the what is that, 60 yards or however big they are. I don't.
They're bigger than the length of the football field. If you turn them sideways, they're longer than the field.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's a.
They're quite large.
They are, and then you got the pools. I heard you were up in there.
Oh yeah,
that's what I heard. That's nice.
Yeah,
that's nice.
Oh, yeah. I'm the draw on game day. I go up in the pools with my cut off jean shorts, and I'm looking good, man.
There you go.
I'm looking good. We do the pregame from right in the shallow end.
Right.
Is what we do. So for you today, we're asking fans to share their favorite memories. What are your favorite memories? Is it just being with your teammates, competing on a day to day basis? Are there particular moments in big games that you look back to?
I mean, really, when it for me it was the stuff we did off the field. You know, hanging out with the guys, our families being together. Those are the memories that I cherish more than anything. I know football was fun and I had a great time, but the relationships that I created and or that have grown, you know, with people, just like interns walking around now who aren't interns anymore. They're my fifth year they're an intern now. They're working their way up the ladder. That's nice to see. Or just people in general, the equipment guys, the medical staff guy. I mean, just everyone that I've kind of had a special connection with. Obviously, getting hurt, you're with the medical staff a lot or doing PR and all those things. I think that's what I miss most or what I cherish most is those relationships with the players and their families or coaches and their families and talking to those guys after that. That was the best part about it for me. Football is always going to be football, you know. It's gonna be when I'm dead and bones are dust and all that. It's still gonna be football, so that's gonna be okay. But like I said, the relationship that we created here, that's the best thing for me.
We're asking fans today about their favorite memories of you on the field. We've gotten a couple off the field stuff too, just guys that met you out in public, that kind of thing. But inevitably, when we ask that question, the Merriman block comes
right
up.
Yeah.
And look, when we talked about you, Mojo, when you were here for years, it was about he's a three-down player, that ability to be on the field and your willingness as a blocker. What was it for you that earlier in your career you took on that role so well? It was that your way to get on the field, you felt like, or is that your attitude is you wanted to put the other guy on his backside?
Well, I had a running back coach in college by the name of Eric Bieniemy, and he wasn't the nicest person to be around. And one of the things he always told us was that if you want to play for me, you have to be able to block. And, you know, I'm from 17, 18 years old. That was kind of my mindset. Like, well, I want to play, so I got to get out there and block. And he always told you the truth. And so he would say stuff like, well, you know, you'd just probably be a special teams player in the league, so you need to work on this or this and that. And he would tell me, you're probably going to be a third down back, so you need to focus on blocking. I'd be like, yeah, okay, whatever, man, you know. But what happened was there was so much competition that you wanted to be on the field at all times, because once you came off or someone else came on, you know, they could make a play and then there was your job. And I appreciate him for running it that way because it prepared you for this level where, you know, my agent would tell you, I'd get so upset. I signed a new deal here my second deal, and they drafted Rashad Jennings. It didn't matter. I mean, they drafted him in the second round, but to me it was just like, you can never be comfortable. And then the next year they drafted Deji Kareem. So it was just like, all right, you know, I'm back at this again, back in college. And it just, my mindset every time was, in order to be the best, in order to compete against the best, you have to do everything. And so blocking was just kind of one of those things that stood out for a lot of people.
Jaguar great Maurice Jones-Drew here with us on Jaguars Today. The fans still to this day, I see probably as many number 32s out there as just about any jersey on a game day. What was that relationship like for you?
Oh, I thought it was awesome. I mean, I tell people all the time, we just have a job. We're on TV a lot. You know, we're no different than anyone else. And so obviously when people would come up, you know, I don't want people to feel like you couldn't speak to me in public or say anything. Granted, sometimes I was with my kids and things like that, but, you know, I'm just like them. And so I thought, obviously, the community kind of embraced me when I got here, and it kind of just took off from there, seeing people always seeing Jaguar jerseys. Or we were at a, I took some kids to UCLA spring game this weekend. There was a 32 Jaguars jersey, nice, which is pretty awesome. So, you know, again, just trying to embrace with everyone and let, there's no, football doesn't make you immortal. It doesn't make you special. I mean, we're all the same, and we just have to go out and give back and enjoy it. Like I said, I enjoyed it. You know, I think a lot of people, I had some times where I was very upset because I'm a competitor. I love to compete and I hate losing, but every second I was here in this building, in this city, I enjoyed every last minute of it. And, you know, I'm going to continue to enjoy it while I'm here.
Have there been any conversations yet about the Pride?
No. I feel like there's other people that deserve it before I do. You know, you have Brad Meester, who played 16 years. I think he should be the next one up there. Then you have Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCardell. I mean, we have some great guys that, Greg, I feel like Greg Jones, he blocked for, what, 10,000 yard rushers at one point, you know, so you have guys that have put in a lot of work. You know, I'd feel for me, it'd be easier for me to accept it after those guys.
Oh, time will pass and eventually, we'll likely see you up there. I have no doubt about that. Touchdown celebrations were a big thing that people connected with you through, right? Was there a favorite? Or it seemed to me, because I read the comments of Arian Foster, super complimentary of you, right? And even Forte played it straight in this. I don't know if you've seen the article. But it seemed like you and Arian, from afar, had this rivalry in the celebrations. He'd steal yours, you'd go back at him, that kind of thing.
You know what? Both of those guys you mentioned were good friends. Obviously, Matt Forte, we're very close. But with Arian, I'd met him right before his rookie season. And, you know, guys always ask those questions like, what do I have to do to, you know, for people to notice me? And I used to tell him, hey, man, just have fun. You know, whatever you want to do, whatever is important to you, do it. And, he's a very spiritual person, and he's like outgoing, real artsy. And so I guess he liked how I took the little Mr. Miyagi bow thing, and, he stole it.
He straight stole that.
Yeah, and that's okay. And I told him, you know, as long as you quote me or quote the source, you won't get in trouble for plagiarism, but it's okay. He never did it. And, he's having a great career. So I think, you know, that's just something for us to give back. You know, again, you try so hard to get it. People don't understand how hard it is to score in this league. I mean, it's, you have to do so much. I know from my last year, I didn't even get close to it. But when you get in there, you're supposed to celebrate because it shows all the hard work you put in, all the times, all the plays that you executed, all the players that never made a mistake throughout that drive. You have to go out there and have some type of excitement about it. And, you know, that's what the dances were about. And then obviously when you're able to get the fans involved, That was always awesome as well.
At one time, you were pretty prolific at scoring, though, Mojo. So, what is the most number of dances you ever had ready for a single game?
I usually just had one, and then okay. I just kept doing it over and over again. If that was the case, you know,
version 2.0.
Yeah, just try to get it going. It was like I said. When I look at someone, I'm looking at my agent right now, I'm like, some of them were stupid, but it was fun. I don't know. I just enjoyed it. You know, like I said, it's hard to criticize because it was just so much fun. Like, I football is never not going to be fun for me, but it's, you know, it was something where I could just enjoy that moment.
You'll be up in Chicago with me in a few days. We'll be doing some draft coverage for Sirius. With that, third pick in the draft, which direction you going for the Jaguars?
You know what? I really don't know. I would say, I think my boy Tim Denard Robinson did a great job last year running back. I feel like he deserves opportunity, at that position. You know, you're never going to have enough offense and defensive linemen. And then if you're at that pick, I mean, I think you're high enough to get a great player.
Even a UCLA guy might be okay with Leonard Williams at a USC.
You know what? He's a great player. I can't say that he's I mean, he made a bad decision. Everyone makes mistakes.
And that,
right?
That would be going to the wrong school.
Exactly. I can't say his talent is tremendous, but I heard he has huge hands. I mean, I never met the kid, but heard a lot about him. I actually went to SC and talked to a lot of their coaches about him this weekend. Tremendous talent, energy, the whole nine, the total pack. He just made a bad decision.
All right. I know they're going to run you out of here because you have a few stops to make before 11 o'clock. Your press conference will air live on Jaguars.com. Final thought, just what are we looking at? NFL Network? Where are we going to see you? Come on.
Hopefully somewhere soon. I think NFL Network is the place we're kind of leaning towards right now. It just makes sense, you know, LA based. So I'm back at home on the West Coast and, or Fox.
Right. That's an agent talking over there. Yeah. Don't forget to mention possibly Fox as well.
Well, not as well. Yeah, no, they're definitely a place where we enjoyed. And so you just never know. But serious, obviously.
We're back. You're
six. We're back. Yeah, two shows a week.
I like it.
Get you that money.
Is your back sore? Because I've been riding you for half decade at least, brother. And I appreciate every moment. My favorite moment, you going down at the one, because it led to all this.
Right.
Right? That opened the door, and away we go.
Now everyone's getting paid. I love it.
Hey, listen, good to see you, and I will look forward to seeing you up in Chicago in a couple of days. Great success on the rest of your life, you know, your next stage of your career.
Hopefully I have, you know, 70 more years left of life, so that's the plan, living to 100 at least.
Thanks for the football memories in the meantime, man. Good to see you, all right?
I appreciate it, guys.
All right, there he is, Maurice Jones-Drew, one of a kind. Love him, and he has got his press conference coming up top of the hour. You can catch that at jaguars.com. They'll have coverage, in fact, rolling in about 5 minutes, some pre-press conference stuff going on there, and you'll also hear that at least the beginning portion of it here on Jaguars Today coming up at the top of the hour. So glad MJD could take a few minutes out to swing in and say hello. 641-1010 if you'd like to get on board. Don't forget fan feedback spotlight today, just simply asking you about Maurice Jones-Drew. What's your favorite memory from his time as a Jacksonville Jaguar? Share your thoughts with us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL, Fat Tony. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you, live at EverBank. Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, Jaguars Today continues here live at EverBank Field. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony. Thanks to Maurice Jones-Drew for stopping by to say hello. You'll hear more of his press conference. What would you call it, Tony? It's not a farewell press conference. It's a retirement press conference,
yeah,
I guess, right?
He's not gone.
Well, he's not going to be here full time either. You know, as he said, I'll enjoy it while I'm here in Jacksonville. He's off to Chicago tomorrow. And then my guess is NFL Network is where you're going to see him on television. But a wise agent indicated, hey, leverage. Fox. Throw Fox in there as well. We'll throw a few others in there if it would help him out, but I'm sure you'll see him. Maurice is built for it. You know, I mean, he's got a great personality. He's photogenic. He's a smart guy. I've had more fun the last couple of years on the fantasy show with him. We've moved towards doing some more game breakdowns and really just hear him talk about scheme versus scheme and why he thinks certain players will have success against certain defenses and vice versa because of what they run and getting into the X's and O's. He's going to hold up quite well in that regard on whatever network he lands on. Draft needs for the Jags, Tony. Todd McShay took a look. Happy to find out that cornerback apparently is not among those draft needs, those top draft needs for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Wasn't it just McShay a couple of weeks ago saying the opposite of that?
I don't remember who said what anymore. McShay, I'm pretty sure, is the one who had the wrong defensive lineman in the article at one point in time on a mock draft. I'm pretty sure.
Somebody sent me a tweet this morning that said apparently...
I thought McShay had, like... Derek Morgan sign in here this offseason. I think it
was. Right. He said something like they re-signed Derek Morgan or something like that, obviously getting him confused with the Titans. Somebody sent a tweet that said something somebody said indicates they think Jason Babin is still on the team as well. So let's just say, I guess when the transaction wire includes the word Jaguars, the national people don't pay all that much attention. By the way, did you see Charlie Casserly yesterday?
No.
Oh, my goodness. Charlie Casserly's on live, right? And I forget the name of the host. Is it Heaney? Something like Heaney? I'm not sure what it was. But anyway, they're live.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's setting it up. Well, I'll listen. He's setting up a thing about Jameis Winston and the fact that the Bucks have talked to like 75 people, including like middle school teachers. So he's asking a former GM, like, what would you be asking of these kind of people? This is how the exchange went.
Charlie, they've reportedly talked to 75 different people over the last couple of months about Jameis Winston, doing all of their due diligence and more. A lot of pressure on them as they have the number one pick. They need to get better and get better in a hurry, and it starts at the quarterback position. What type of questions are you asking middle school teachers and high school coaches when you're doing
time
research?
Hold on, hold on. Yeah.
What?
What? Hold on. Start. I thought you were just going to, what do you do? I'm not going to answer specific questions. We didn't talk about that inside.
Well, okay, what
no,
do you
no,
do?
No, you don't ask me a question we haven't talked about.
Well, hold on. Let's go here.
Yeah,
let's go here.
Just ask me.
When you're doing, let's pretend you're the general manager for a minute, okay? Like, how does the process start?
Yeah,
that starts with questions, though, right?
Yeah.
How does that process start?
Well, the process starts. Well, are we live? What are we doing now? Are we taping or what are we doing?
No, we're live.
No, we're start live. The whole thing over.
Okay, we're live. What's the process? Just walk me through the process here.
Okay.
If you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and you're their general manager, what are you doing right now?
Well, the first thing is, if you're going to ask 75 questions, interview 75
people. 75 people.
That's a red light.
Yeah.
Okay? That's a red light right there. But what you do is this. Your college scouts are your best sources of information.
Actually, Charlie, the red light is the thing on the camera that indicates you're on the air
red
right
light.
Now. Okay, that's a red light right there.
Do your job!
Tony, it didn't seem like that difficult a question. Yes, it may have been ad-libbed, but Charlie, as a former GM, what would you be asking? What kind of questions are you asking to dig into a guy's background?
Right.
All right, roll with it, Chuck.
It's not all that unreasonable.
Man, you're supposed to be this expert point of view, and it just goes to show you sometimes how utterly scripted this stuff is, as a lot of people were saying yesterday on social media. If you're going to feed anyone the script and tell them what to say, we could all be the expert
right.
on NFL Network. It was so embarrassing. Dan Helly was the host. And give this guy props. You got to watch the video. Cool as a cucumber. Never got flustered. And, you know, Cassidy's basically berating him like he's a kid or something like that. And what are we? Are we going to tape? Are we taped?
All right, start the whole thing over.
We're live on the NFL Network, Charlie. And your career is just imploding right before our very eyes. So
he's also the same guy that thought the Jags traded Mercedes Lewis, right?
Did he?
I think he fell for Adarn Schefter.
Oh, did okay. Well, you know that people get sucked in by the fake Twitter accounts sometimes.
I like that. Like the fake Twitter thing cracks me up.
Yeah, I mean anybody in any given moment probably could run away with one of those.
It's the 2015 version of the prank call. In my mind, it's pretty much
right.
You
still see that, by the way. You still see people get past producers. They call up TV stations. Hey, this is so and so. I'm an expert in whatever. And
yeah,
then
they
get on to say Baba Booey. I get it. All right.
They did it. They made it.
I never thought that was all that funny to begin with. But anyway, Todd McShay, Tony, draft needs for the Jags. Obviously, cornerback is not among his top needs anymore, from what you told me. What does he list as the top needs for the Jaguars?
I don't remember if he had corner there or not. Somebody had corner there. A lot of people
have
had corner.
He doesn't now. Right.
But he doesn't now. This is the most reasonable list I've seen recording the Jags in quite a while, to be honest with you. Todd McShay put this up about an hour ago now. For the Jags, his top five needs, he listed as defensive end, offensive tackle, safety, inside linebacker, wide receiver, 1 through 5. His little blurb about it, the Jaguars upgraded their D-line in free agency by signing Jared Odrick to a big contract, but they don't yet have an impact player at the Leo edge rusher position in Gus Bradley's defensive scheme. They could look to draft one with the number 3 overall pick. The offensive line allowed an NFL-worst 71 sacks, so the Jags would do well to add a quality player or two to help shore things up. They don't currently have a playmaker at the free safety position, something that is needed in this defense, and they could use some more depth at inside linebacker. The team spent 2 second-round picks on wide receivers last year, Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson. Also got contributions from undrafted rookie Allen Hurns, but none of those guys project as a number one NFL wide receiver. That's why Alabama's Amari Cooper is in play with the number 3 overall pick. That's about as reasonable as I've seen discussing the Jags.
Very reasonable. Somebody tweeted and said it was somebody on NFL Network that said cornerback was one of their top picks.
Was it Bucky Brooks?
Trust me, it was several guys because I kept seeing it. That's why we brought it up with Dave Caldwell last Friday, that we've seen this in multiple places. People put cornerback as one of the top 3 needs, not necessarily the top need, and it never really made a whole lot of sense based on the young development of the guys they had coming back and the addition of Devon House. Anyway, good to see everyone catching up now 2 days before the draft. This is when it counts, right, Tony? All the other months of analysis were just to keep you page clicking, I guess, and see what changes were going to be made in there. We invite you, to try to predict the picks for the Jacksonville Jaguars Foundation Professionals of Florida putting on the Predict the Pick contest. You can enter one of two ways. You can do it at the Jaguars Today Facebook page, which is simply facebook.com/Jaguars Today, or you can email me at MikeD@1010XL.com, or MikeD@1010XL.com, excuse me, throwing a little Twitter ampersand in there. I guess ampersand's the and sign,
yes.
Not the at sign, right?
Correct.
I just messed that whole thing up. Just email MikeD@1010XL.com and give us five names of guys you think the Jags may draft. The most, whoever gets the most right. In other words, they could all be seventh round picks, doesn't matter. But if the Jags end up with three of your five and no one else predicts three correctly, you're the winner. The prize, we've got a 20th season commemorative replica hard hat for the Jacksonville Jaguars that they were given out last year when they're doing a lot of the stadium construction with the scoreboards. And the catch is this one's signed by a number of members of the coaching staff and the roster, including Gus Bradley, Blake Bortles, Marquise Lee, and several others on there as well. So you can see pictures of that if you go to the Jaguars Today Facebook page. Bottom line, give us the name of five prospects, and whoever out of their five gets the most guys that actually end up on the Jags, you're going to win, and we break ties at our discretion. I have a feeling that this will come down to a tie. But if somebody gets three, I'm going to say that's probably going to be a runaway winner. That's pretty hard to do because you don't know who's going to be available as the picks roll on. Now, typically we do this date in football history coming up next, but at the top of the hour, Maurice Jones-Drew going to talk with the collective media. Mark Long with a little breaking news on Twitter. Apparently Maurice is going to work for either NFL Network or Fox. Mark tweeted out.
Thanks for listening, Mark.
Wish we could have gotten that information out of Maurice ourselves a few minutes ago. But nonetheless, love you, Mark. Stop by and say hello if you're in the building, or are you just reporting on this listening to your car radio? I don't know how the whole thing's going down, but he is listening today because he keeps tweeting at me. And we love you very much, Mark Long of the Associated Press, at AP Mark Long on Twitter. But we got Maurice's press conference top of the hour. You're going to hear that here, courtesy of Jaguars.com. So we'll take a break right now. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, live at Everbank Field on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, before we get to the state in football history, just want to let you know, we apologize, unable to air Maurice Jones-Drew's press conference ongoing right now, which makes me doubly glad we had him on earlier this morning on Jaguars Today, as he's in town to sign his one-day contract and officially retire as a member of the Jags. Obviously, you can listen to and watch the press conference, for that matter, at Jaguars.com, but connection issue for us, unable to bring that to you live, so we apologize for that, and away we go. This Dayton football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Not a whole heck of a lot happened on this Dayton football history, Tony. If we remember, April 28, 2015, Maurice Jones-Drew retired as a Jacksonville Jaguar.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that a year from now. In the meantime, Pete Stojanovic's birthday?
Do
anything for you?
Nope.
Not a bit. 48 years young for Pete. Didn't he have, I want to say he had a 59-yard field goal, because at the time, when Tom Dempsey's 63 stood alone at the top of the list for so long, Stojanovic was right there among the longest field goals ever made. We've seen Scobie kick a 59-yarder. We've since seen, Seabass have a 64-yarder now? What's the record now?
I think it is 64.
Is it 64? Who's the Denver kicker? Matt Elam tied it with 63.
Yeah.
I want to say, who's the San Francisco 49er kicker, the left footer, also kicked for
David Akers?
David Akers. David Akers, I want to say, tied the record at 63 yards as well. What you got?
Was it, I'm just thinking, did Prater kick a long one?
He may have. I'm going to have to look up longest field goals now, but put it this way. Not a whole heck of a lot happened on this date in football history prior to Maurice Jones-Drew signing a one-day deal to retire as a member of the Jacksonville Jaguars, but we're thankful for Dr. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, which brings you this date in football history. It's Blake's birthday today?
Yes,
is that
it
right,
is.
Tyler?
Well, 23
why do you
today.
Say so? Why you tell me now? Why you tell me that like before the show?
I just found out. Happy birthday, Blake.
how dare you? He's not listed on Pro Football Reference's birthday page. A massive oversight by Pro Football Reference.
Yes,
how dare they? Happy birthday, Blake Bortles. He came into this world how many years ago? 23? 23 years ago today. So there you go. Well, now something of significance has happened retroactively, and it was brought to you by Dr. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Call 620-9225 if you're in the market for a family dentist or you need cosmetic work done, or visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of Comprehensive Care Services. This show is going along smoothly at this point right now. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
The Washington Redskins are picking up the fifth-year option on the contract of quarterback Robert Griffin III. Griffin is set to make $3.27 million in 2015. He will make $16.2 million next season with the team picking up that option after a 9-7 record in his rookie year, leading the Washington Redskins to an NFC East title. They lost in the first round of the playoffs to the Seattle Seahawks at home. In the last two seasons, he has missed 12 games and led the team to a 5-15 record in the 20 games he has started. We've talked a lot about the Cleveland Browns and their 12th and 19th picks in Thursday's first round of the NFL draft. Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network reported yesterday on Twitter that Washington has had conversations with Cleveland about trading into that number 5 slot. Rappaport, like many other NFL insiders, believes the Browns covet Mariota. Odds are 5 isn't high enough to go get him if that's who you would be targeting, although there has been talk that they really want to go get a wide receiver as well, especially with all that's going on with Josh Gordon, and is he ever going to play NFL football again? And Jim Wyatt, who nailed the Chris Johnson pick in our annual mock draft,
he's been living off that for a while now.
Yes, says that he believes the Titans would pass on Leonard Williams at number 2, and that if the team does not take Marcus Mariota with that pick, Amari Cooper would be who he thinks the Tennessee Titans are looking at.
I saw that as well, which is interesting now because Pro Football Talk just put out a blog entry, let's call it, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's not a report specifically where you look and, you know, you see a citation of where it's coming from. But Mike Florio writing this and patting himself on the back, not like we haven't patted Hayes Carline on the back enough, but he said last year PFT first caught wind of the Jags as a potential suitor at number 3 for quarterback Blake Bortles only a couple days before the draft. Going back, as he linked the story from last year on there, he talked about in his official mock draft, Peter King of the Monday Morning Quarterback last year put Bortles at number 26 to the Browns, explaining that he, quote, couldn't find a Bortles lover when making calls to put together his projection of picks. So at the time, Pro Football Talk decided to try to figure out the potential hot spots for Bortles, and he said, here's what we know. This is at the time, a year ago, right before the draft, or at least what we think.
Mm-hmm.
He said, as John McClain of the Houston Chronicle previously has explained, a trade down by the Texans would be aimed at getting Johnny Manziel, Khalil Mack, or Blake Bortles. So Bortles could be a Texan before the first 10 picks are made. Next paragraph. Some believe that the Jaguars will strongly consider Bortles at number 3. One league source suggested that Bortles is one of the 3 players the Jags have identified for their selection. Since they pick 3rd, it's wise to have 3. The question for the Jaguars will be whether to pick a player at another position who can make an immediate impact with Chad Henne playing quarterback, or whether they want to roll the dice for a potential franchise quarterback. We know which way they went mm-hmm. on that one. So that brings us to today, where in referencing that they caught wind of Bortles possibly being high on the board. He said it's 2 days before the draft, and Pro Football Talk has caught wind of another potential surprise for the Jaguars at number 3 at a time when many believe the Jaguars will take linebacker Dante Fowler Jr. with the 3rd pick. Chatter has commenced that the Jags instead will select Alabama receiver Amari Cooper. Now, I'm taking this to be chatter in back channels, right? Like, because obviously we see Todd McShay had mocked Amari Cooper to the Jags in his Kiper McShay combo mock just not too long ago. So it's been out there and suggested. I take this to say that there's scuttlebutt going on behind the scenes, that there's something to this. PFT went on to say Cooper has emerged as the top prospect at the wide receiver position, separating more and more from Kevin White as the draft approaches, which makes sense, as Cooper is more NFL-ready than White, which means that as coaches get more involved in the process, teams will be more likely to gravitate towards a guy who will be more likely to help them win. Now, there's a chance Cooper won't be available at number 3. Tennessee may go wide out at number 2 if they don't take quarterback Marcus Mariota and if they don't trade down. But if Cooper and Fowler are both on the board when the Jaguars are on the clock, Cooper could indeed be the pick. So could Leonard Williams be the pick?
Which, sure.
Right, I mean, yes, he could. We've identified what we think is the group of guys, right? Particularly those 3 guys, right? Williams, Fowler, Cooper, Tony, if they don't move out of the third pick in the draft, what percentage does Fat Tony Smith put on one of those three guys coming to Jacksonville?
As a group?
Out of any one of those three guys coming being the pick, because you're guaranteed to get one at the third pick. So if the Jags are at three, will it be Williams, Fowler, or Cooper? How confident are you? It's got to be in the 90 percentile, right?
Yeah, it's way, way up there. I could Todd Gurley's a way outside chance. Like, maybe you give, like, a 1 in 50 chance of that, so now we're at 98.
Who's more likely, Vic Beasley or Todd Gurley?
Probably Beasley. Probably Beasley. Because he does feel like that Leo, right? And he maybe even feels more like a Leo than Dante Fowler
2%
does.
Chance for Beasley now for you?
Probably a little bit higher than that.
We'll
go 4% for Beasley.
4%, so we're at 5% now.
2% for Gurley, so I'm at 6.
Six, okay.
So we're at 94.
2% for Gurley. Okay,
yeah.
1 in 25.
That's 1 in 50.
1 in 50 is
you're
what
all
I
over
said.
The place. It's 1 in 25.
Hey, Charlie Cassidy, this is how you roll on. When you say something dumb, you just keep going.
No, it would be about 1 in 25 for Beasley, 1 in 50
yeah, that'd make more sense,
for Gurley. So that's 6. So 94% chance.
94%.
Those other guys.
Nobody else? Kevin White? Nobody else?
I don't think so.
Possible? Not even 1% collectively?
Yeah, if you want to throw them a
1%. I'll go 93.7 based on your math right there, just because I have to redeem myself a little bit. It does, look.
It's really, if it feels like those three guys are the guys.
It does.
And if there was anybody else, look, would I understand if Todd Gurley was the pick? Yeah. And we've had this conversation where if the Jaguars valued everybody in this draft, right, and they're sitting there at number three, and say Leonard Williams does go number two, and he was our number one rated guy on the board, then their number two rated guy in this entire draft was Todd Gurley, and that's taking into account the position he plays, the fact that he's coming off an ACL. You're just evaluating the players, and you say Todd Gurley is the second best player in this draft. If you're picking at number three and you're the Jaguars, you take him. Now, would I have all kinds of questions about why is Todd Gurley number two on your board? And why is he ahead of a guy like Dante Fowler and Amari Cooper and all these other guys? Sure, I'd have questions about it. But if you're Dave Caldwell and the Jaguars, if that's where you evaluate the player, you take them and you ignore the outside noise.
Now, do you think an evaluation like that, would that factor in? Is that just a pure grade on Gurley, or do you have to sit there and say, okay, but let's say for the sake of simple math-minded people like myself, mm-hmm. Todd Gurley's 100 on a scale of 1 to 100.
Okay.
Okay. And you've got Dante Fowler is a 97. Okay.
Okay.
You think you can get a running back who's an 85 in round two or three, and you think the best pass rusher that you could get is going to be a 65. Okay. So you've got 97 plus an 85
mm-hmm.
or 100. Plus a 65, right? I mean, the math would tell you you'd go Dante Fowler and wait for a running back, wouldn't it? Or do you just simply take the best player available? You have to factor into some degree what you think you can get. Now, I'm not saying you skip out on an all-time talent if you think that guy is what it is. But if that's the case, if you think Todd Gurley is so clear-cut the all-time talent, probably the margin's got to be bigger than what I'm talking about,
probably,
right?
Yeah.
Then, because most of that grading scale is usually like, it's like a single digit grading scale that they use. Like the 8.0 is like the all perennial all pro type yeah. guy, you know. Even that, you get fractionally into it. I guess you could get to about 100% way of looking at it. But
no, I get the argument though, where you're trying to look at what's going to be available to you on the back end of that too. And if you feel better about the running back position, I get all that. I still think if the position the Jaguars are in, if they feel like that's the best player available to them, I say you take him. And if that happens to be Todd Gurley, then that's the guy you take. I don't necessarily think that Todd Gurley is going to be that guy. I think that you can make the more compelling argument that that would be Amari Cooper than it would be Todd Gurley at this point in time, even against the Leonard Williams. I think there's a significant chance that there are a lot of teams in the NFL that have a higher grade on Amari Cooper than they do Leonard Williams. Is Jacksonville one of those teams? I don't know. But I think that that chance is out there. And a month and a half ago when we were talking about this, I wasn't sure that anybody was going to feel that way about Amari Cooper. And the closer and closer we've gotten to the draft, it's starting to feel like there are a lot of teams that really love Amari Cooper. And for whatever reason, it's not that the opinion on Leonard Williams is cooling. It's just he's not hot right now. Amari Cooper feels like a hot name in NFL circles right now. And Leonard Williams is just that guy that everyone goes, yeah, he's the best player in this draft.
He's been there.
Right. Let's talk about Amari.
Right. And who else might be the best player in this draft?
Right. So there's a lot of conversation about that guy. If they wound up taking Amari Cooper, I wouldn't be surprised. My guess, though, is that if Leonard Williams is available with the number three pick, he's going to be a Jaguar. That's my guess.
That's my guess as well. Yeah. But who will Jag fans be more disappointed now if the Titans take, right? Do you want, because you almost get the sense if Mariota doesn't go two, then there's not a strong enough market that you're not going to be able to capitalize on it anyway, right? That either it's going to get done with Tennessee, yeah, or it's probably not going to get done with you. Maybe it gets done with Washington, as people have said, you got to get ahead of the Jets, what have you. You know what I mean? I almost feel that way, though, if Mariota is there, it's a disappointment in the sense that there probably isn't the trade market that you're expected to be for him.
Right, but the Jaguars may be willing to take a little bit less from the Jets, you know, to move down to six if that's a team that is looking to move up, and maybe Tennessee decided that they really do love Williams or Cooper or whoever they decided to draft their number two and didn't want to miss out on the opportunity. The Cleveland thing seems like a more and more far-fetched thing to me. I don't know that this team is trading out of the top 8 to 10 picks.
You know,
I can't see it happen.
The whole draft trade value chart thing has bothered me for years, because the draft trade value chart was created in the early 90s by Jimmy Johnson based on a previous set of draft data, based on the kind of guys. So, for instance, in 83, you had Elway at the top of the draft, right? So what was the number one pick worth when Elway was coming out? Infinite, right? I mean, same with Andrew Luck. So there's certain years. You can't tell me the year that Luke Jokel was number two was as worth as much as the year Tony Boselli was number
Absolutely
two.
Absolutely not.
Right.
No.
So it can't be just simply that the second pick is worth X. Okay? It's based on what's available, and that why they continue to adhere to this drives me crazy. And PFT did a thing that showed most of the draft trades that went down last year did pretty closely adhere to the value chart, despite the fact that it doesn't necessarily give you the cleanest indicator of value. And the suggestion was it would take Cleveland's first four picks to move up and get the number two overall pick. That the value would be 12 and 19 plus their second and third round picks on top of that. Tennessee would be, I think, crazy. If they're even thinking about trading out of there, they'd be crazy not to take a deal like that. I don't know if Cleveland's crazy enough to offer a deal like that. They said, for instance, the Jets picking at six, but they don't have as many picks as Cleveland, could give their whole draft, and it wouldn't equal the second pick in the draft. I think that's nuts, too. You know, I don't think it would take every pick in the draft for the Jets to move up to number two if Tennessee was willing to get out of that spot. You know what I mean?
No, I get you. And I don't know if you saw it, but Todd McShay also put out the article yesterday where he's got his tiers of players in this year's draft. And, you know, he breaks it up. He's not just saying this is first round. He breaks it up a little bit more than that. But tier one, he calls the elite prospects of this class, should be starters from day one and project as perennial Pro Bowlers. He's got two names. And there's that elite class of prospects in this draft. Jameis Winston, Leonard Williams. His tier two, he says, a top 10 pick in most drafts. He's got Amari Cooper as the lone guy. All right, so he's got three names thus far that he would have as top 10 grades in most drafts, okay? Then tier three, these are guys that he says would usually go between 10 and 20 on a value chart in an NFL draft. He's got Kevin White, Dante Fowler Jr., Marcus Mariota, Brandon Scherff, Devontae Parker, Todd Gurley. So that's nine guys right there that basically are into the middle of the first round on a draft grade. Now, the late first round grades, he's got 23 names total once you get to that point.
So, nine plus another.
Right. Nine plus another
14 guys.
So he's got 20. Yeah, he's got 23 guys basically that he gives a first round grade to in this year's class. Now, the Jaguars, and when Caldwell was sitting in here with us saying that they have a group that they feel like is an elite group of players, right? How big is their group? You know, because right. for McShay, the elite group is two.
Right.
And one of those names aren't a consideration for Jacksonville because one of them is Jameis Winston. I don't know what Jacksonville's elite group is or guys that they consider top 10 values, but that's not they're not going to trade to a point, in my opinion, outside of being able to get one of those guys.
Unless they get blown away. Right. Again, if you want to offer, you know, years worth of first-round picks and all that, it's a different story. No one's going to give them that deal. So with that, Tony, if they're considering 3 to 5 guys, I got to believe whatever that final number is, 3 to 5 seems vague to me, right? Like, do you not know if it's...
Well, he knows.
Is it more 3 than 5?
Yeah.
And if it is, then maybe your group is only 3. If it's 5... then I think there's some trade possibilities there. You're looking at going down to 6. You're looking at going down to 8, depending on if you feel one of those guys is going to be there. And so we'll see how it all plays out, obviously. Let's get a call in, 641-1010. Rick is up here on Jaguars today. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm great, guys. Hey, I will absolutely go nuts if they take a wide receiver at 3.
How like, come?
Well, you took 2 last year. Obviously, Hearns has turned out to be a pretty good guy. I just can't help but think back to when Detroit was taking this great wide receiver year in and year out, Roy Williams.
And then they finally got one, didn't they? Because they kept doing it.
They did finally get one, that's for sure. And I'm not sold on, I mean, I know SEC, Alabama, I'm not sold on those guys. I mean, that's a great team. I don't know about the individual play over there, and I think it's kind of spilled out to where, you know, I'm okay with Williams or Fowler, but if they take an offensive guy, I think they need to take Gurley. I think he's the best offensive player in the draft.
All right, well, that's fine. That's your opinion. No, I don't think that's a crazy opinion to have. I will say that I think Amari Cooper's a hell of a player.
I do too.
And just because Alabama has a great team doesn't mean Julio Jones wasn't a phenomenal player both in college and the pros. Eddie Lacy is proving to be that as well. Certainly Trent Richardson bucks that trend, but you got Mark Ingram now kind of really coming on over the last year plus, right, into where they gave him another contract in New Orleans. So I don't think, you know, all those guys are just a product of the system. Somebody's got to make that thing go. I think if you just watch Amari Cooper set up defensive backs and run through arm tackles and seemingly find open space, it's not like they're not covering him, right? I mean, it's not like they don't know about the guy. I think Amari Cooper is very, very good. Whether he's at the Julio Jones level, I don't know. He doesn't have that stature, doesn't have that measurables package that those guys have.
My opinion on Amari Cooper hasn't changed over the course of the last month and a half. I wouldn't take him at 3. If I was Dave Caldwell, I wouldn't take him at 3. Now, I'm not put in charge of that evaluation. I obviously haven't watched as much tape or anything. But for me, to take a wide receiver in that position, you have to feel like he is just an extraordinary talent. He is Julio Jones. He is one of those guys. I don't feel that way about Amari Cooper. I think there are a lot of people who do feel that way about Amari Cooper, and I think there are teams that feel that way about Amari Cooper. If I'm in the position that even if Leonard Williams goes 2, I'm drafting Fowler or Beasley, whichever defensive end I feel better about. Now, we heard Dave Caldwell sitting here with us saying, when we asked him about his ideal league, I was like, oh, he's a pass rusher, but if he can play 3 downs and set that edge, that would be nice too. And it's like, all right. So
I wanted to be everything. Right. I wanted to be the best all-around player that ever has played.
And by the way, we feel pretty good about Branch. And
Ryan Davis and Chris Clemens. I think Chris Clemens has got another 6 good years in him at the age of 32.
He mentioned Chris Smith talking to us, too. I mean,
we did draft Chris Smith last year. You did. That is factually correct.
He hit all those bases. Look, if I was in that position, if Leonard Williams goes 2, if he's available to me, Leonard Williams is my pick at 3. If he was gone, though, right now, I would take Dante Fowler Jr.
This is Jason Lockett for just another opinion. Not everybody loves Jason Lockett for so be it. He thinks there are 5 can't-miss players in the 2015 NFL draft. This is in talking with a scout. He said, I was going to talk to a few evaluators I really trust and put together a column on which players truly merit to be taken in the first 10 picks of the NFL draft. True blue chippers can't miss, only it was difficult to get too much of a consensus, so he narrowed it down basically to 5 guys, clear-cut, can't-miss guys. Leonard Williams, Dante Fowler, Shane Ray, interestingly enough, and this is obviously before the marijuana news.
Yeah, it's just a player.
He did update it with the news about that. He says, I see a lot of people down on him or whatever lately, and his arrest for marijuana possession will exacerbate that for some. But he does have Ray in there. Then he has Kevin White 4, Amari Cooper 5. Those are, and he said, because the value he thinks of the defensive linemen trumps the wide receivers, that's why they come off in that order. But this is specifically what he said about this evaluator that he talked to said. There's a talent evaluator. He's talking about Leonard Williams. He's the best pick in this draft, and it isn't even really all that close. In fact, if the two quarterbacks go at the first two picks and the Jaguars, picking third overall, take Dante Fowler before him, they're crazy. I don't care what your defensive line looks like. This is the pick. He should go first overall. There's no way I would take one of these quarterbacks over him. But with the position some of these teams are in, I understand why he won't go first. I can't say he's completely can't miss. He's a little bit different in some ways. He's kind of a hippie, but he can play. God, can he play? He is the best player in this draft, and I don't see how anyone could really debate that. So that's one guy's, one talent evaluator's opinion.
That was anonymous.
National Football League. Anonymous to Jason Locken for of CBS Sports. So, Tony, we'll know one way or the other when it's all said and done. And thank you, MJD, for the shout-out, apparently, in his press conference. I got several tweets about that.
What up, Mojo?
Shane Ray's statement, Tony. We talked about him a little bit earlier. This is what he said on being arrested or cited, I guess, not arrested, but cited for marijuana possession driving around. Quote, I'd like to apologize to my mother, fans, and prospective NFL teams for my poor judgment Monday morning. I'm embarrassed. I realize there are consequences for my actions. I was not under the influence nor impaired. Therefore, I was not detained. Fortunately, Monday's incident only resulted in a citation. I will make better choices in the future. It is imperative that I continue to strive to better myself. My future NFL career has been something I've always dreamed about and is very important to me. I commit that my actions will represent that now. There are no excuses here, and I will take the necessary steps to ensure that this will not happen again. I will not jeopardize my ability to have a positive impact on and off the field moving forward. Well, the easiest step is don't have marijuana, right? I mean, that's the easiest step, but I just find it funny that I commit that my actions will represent that. Starting now. Start now that I've been caught.
Yep.
I commit to you that I will not put myself in a position to be caught again.
What else are you going to say?
I don't know. But, you know, it just, it all rings a little bit hollow when you get caught. And
it's all right, Shane. Now you may get drafted by a team that's in a position to win right away.
You know, when you like, maybe it's happened before, when you like some guy to get up there and say, you know what? I may not have had the fastest 40, whatever. I'll tell you this. I've never had a problem with drugs. I commit I'll never have a problem with drugs. I've never failed a drug test. I never owned drugs, never possessed drugs, never sampled drugs, never tried drugs. And I'm not holding this press conference because I got caught. I'm holding this to remind you that I haven't been caught and I will never be caught again. I don't know. probably useless.
Yeah,
and over the top.
I joked around last night, like, with Randy Gregory, if you're smoking pot on the way to the NFL combine or, you know, and you know that test is coming, then why not just go downstairs with a joint in your mouth and they hand you that pee cup and you're like, nah, you're going to find out about it anyway. Just
right.
Smoking.
You sure you want me to still pee?
Just that slack jawed look. Yeah.
In the, you referenced it earlier, the Journal Online, Journal Sentinel Online, covering the Green Bay Packers, Bob McGinn does that story where he talks to all the scouts and they grade all the players at the various positions anonymously. And, they asked 20 of them to vote on who the best pass rusher is, regardless of the position, outside linebacker, DN. Gregory got half the votes. It's pretty good. I mean, that's half. Vic Beasley got 5. 2.5 went to Dante Fowler, 2 to Leonard Williams, 1.5 went to Shane Ray. So Leonard Williams not known to be the best pass rusher. It's not his job, but still 2 out of the 20 voted for him. Gregory also, though, far and away the winner, 11.5 votes out of 19 is one abstained in this portion for the most likely to bust. Shane Ray got 2.5 votes. If they took it today, maybe he'd get a little bit closer. 2 for Vic Beasley and 1 each for Eric Armstead, Carl Davis, Mario Edwards, and Jordan Phillips. So 7 guys voted Gregory, both the number one pass rusher and the number one most likely player to bust among the pass rushers. So they're not mutually exclusive.
No.
Right, we'll take a timeout, come back. Fan feedback spotlight asking you today, what's your favorite memory of Maurice Jones-Drew's career here as a Jacksonville Jaguar as he is retiring today? on a one-day contract to retire officially as a Jag. That's coming up next, 641-1010. If you'd like to get in, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, live at Everbank on Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, a couple of quick reminders here before we get out of here on Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, show flying by, live at Everbank. Back tomorrow with the Media Mock Draft. We'll have picks 1 through 16 start right at the top of the show. You don't want to miss it. As soon as we come on, Bucks are on the clock. TJ Reeves, Bucks sideline reporter, will weigh in. Who do we have? Is it Wyatt? Is Wyatt doing the pick at number 2?
Yep, Jim Wyatt.
Tyler? Jim Wyatt. Pick for the Titans.
Amari Cooper.
Maybe.
Cooper it is, baby.
He probably will, right, based on his most recent report. We just want them to pick what they think the team would actually do. They're not always going to be right, but what do you think the team would actually do presented with a draft board that looks like this, with these guys gone?
And obviously no trades. So.
No trades. And Dan Hicken and Brent Martineau are the war room. Here's what I suggested, Tony, is that they make a pitch. If they agree on the guy, fine. That's the pick. But if they don't, if one of them wants Amari Cooper, one of them wants Leonard Williams or Fowler or Gurley or Beasley or whomever, they've got to sell us, and we will decide then who the selection is based on the sales pitch that these guys make, which is tough because we know all the arguments for these guys, right? I still don't know which way they're going to go or which way they should go at this point in time. I will say this. If they make the pitch and Leonard Williams is on the board and there's not a consensus, I think you and I might have a hard time not taking Leonard Williams.
Yeah. At this point, yeah.
For the Jacksonville Jaguars. Whether that's what's going to happen or not, time will tell, and fortunately not much more time to tell, as the Bud Light Draft Party live here at Everbank on Thursday. 1010XL will be broadcasting live. You have to have a ticket to get in if you want to come in person. Go to jaguars.com/draftparty. You can print it out for free. The tickets don't cost anything, but you have to have one. Also, one other thing, the Predict the Pick contest, courtesy of Foundation Professionals of Florida. You can win a commemorative Jaguars 20th anniversary hard hat autographed by a number of Jaguar players and coaches, including Blake Bortles and Gus Bradley.
Yep.
Very cool. Give us a list, and you can enter on the Facebook page, facebook.com/Jaguars Today, or if you don't do Facebook, you can do email, MikeD@1010XL.com. Just give us a list of 5 guys that you think the Jags may draft at any point. You can give 5 top-of-the-first-round prospects if you want, but chances are you're only going to get one right. Whoever gets the most players right on their list will win the hard hat with all the autographs. And if there's a tie or a bunch of people tied, ties will be broken at our discretion.
What's
we'll talk
the
it
cutoff?
Out.
Start of the draft Thursday night?
First pick. First pick goes off the board.
Okay.
That's what it is. Get your entry in. Enter one time. If you enter more than once, we'll overlook you. All right. So that's what we're going to do. All right. Fan feedback spotlight today. Maurice Jones-Drew, retiring as a member of the Jags. Had him on the show about an hour and a half ago. Tony asked people what their favorite memory of Mojo was. What kind of feedback did we get?
Here's what we got from It's Adam. He said 375 with Freddie. Yeah, that's a good one.
That is a good one.
Cristiano said the Merriman block, hashtag talk to Gus, hashtag 1 week anniversary of saying hello to Gus Bradley and Gus saying hello to him. From Paolo, kneeling down at the 1 yard line against the New York Jets. From Nick, got to be the block he laid on Sean Merriman, hashtag Drew. From Kevin, I'm going to go with the LeBron powder toss celebration after scoring in Cleveland. That's pretty good. From Demetrius, pancaking then Chargers all-pro outside linebacker Sean lights out Merriman, one of the best pass rushers in the NFL at the time. From at Irish Jaguar, taking a knee against the Jets, knowing what a fantasy guy he is, that must have hurt. From David, playoff win versus Pittsburgh, 168 total yards, 2 touchdowns, 96-yard kickoff return, 43-yard touchdown catch. He was huge in that football game. And Cody, Mojo running into the back of Kyle Brady to get up and run for 80 yards for a touchdown against the Pats in 06. Hashtag butt touchdown. I saw a couple of mentions of the run he had against the New York Giants where he disappeared into the line of scrimmage because he was such a short guy, and then all of a sudden just popped out on the other side and squirted away for like 30, 35 yards. So a lot of memories of Mojo here in Jacksonville.
Here's one for you. Matthew Weldon, not apparently a fan in the least of Maurice Jones-Drew, said today's his favorite day of his career. He gets to eat crow during every interview today, and in the future, the Jags offered him a fair deal. Hell, considering what he showed was left in the tank, a great deal. Now that arrogant little man feels the need to ingratiate himself on Jacksonville once again for a safe, warm landing spot. More importantly, if you're not a Hall of Famer, don't do this one-day contract retirement. Fonzie jumping a shark thinks that's played out already. I guess you can talk to Greg Jones and a bunch of other guys.
Paul Spicer,
who weren't the player Maurice Jones-Drew was, who, by the way, the team asked Maurice Jones-Drew to come in and do this. What landing spot is he getting? He's not getting a job with the organization. He's going to go work for the NFL Network, whether he came here to retire as a Jaguar or not. But, hey, apparently Matthew's not in the least bit of Maurice Jones-Drew fan. And
stay bitter.
That's his prerogative. Others here, a lot of the same ones when he took a knee on the one-yard line, him and Fred running all over the Colts, the block that took Merriman off his feet. Somebody pointed out, I couldn't remember the play, he said when he popped Jason Kraft, obviously former Jag, for trying to run an interception from the end zone at the end of a Saints game. He did love to go headhunting when there was a turnover. And played safety in high school, played both ways, as a lot of top athletes do, would deliver the blow without question. The kickoff return against the Steelers in the playoffs gets another vote, and on it goes. And as I said earlier, from a fantasy standpoint, if you own Maurice that day, it may have upset you. As a Jaguar fan, you should have loved it because it just showed smarts and being unselfish and making the right play at the right time to ensure victory. For me, I loved it because it opened the door for Maurice immediately getting on the radar of national fantasy football outlets because he apologized to his fantasy football owners after the game. That's how serious hooked up with him,
yeah.
And that's how I got to go along for the ride. So I'm a big fan of that play.
I bet you are.
Big fan of that play.
You know, most of mine goes back to 2007, which was obviously the last great year for the Jags.
No doubt.
They go up to Pittsburgh, win that playoff game, but watching the 1-2 combination of Mojo and Fred Taylor compared with the 1-2 combination on the defensive line that they had at that time with John Henderson and Marcus Stroud, they were a physical football team, and every week they brought it there for that three-year stretch between 05 and 07. But the combination that they got between Fred Taylor and Maurice Jones-Drew was better than they ever could have imagined when they drafted him in the second round. The ability of Maurice Jones-Drew to come in after a guy as talented as Fred Taylor is coming off the field, to throw that guy in as your breather for defenses, it was almost impossible to stop what the Jaguars wanted to do on the ground game. And that's what Del Rio wanted to do, because the strength of that team was on the defensive side of the ball. And to have those two guys, that combination for that handful of years, was so much fun to watch because the run game never slowed down in games.
No question.
Always had momentum.
No question about it. So on and on it goes. I wonder if Fred Taylor's just a bitter old man, too, just coming back after trying to hook on with the Patriots at the end of his career, if that works across the board, or is it just for Maurice? I'm not sure. A follow-up to that one, Adrian Jackson said his favorite memory of MJD's career is the day he ran over Matthew's cat, apparently. So, there you have it. Well played,
Matthew's cat being brought into it.
Yes, his cat. Poor cat. That may have been what sparked that outrage. MJD done for his career and retiring today as a member of the Jaguars. The draft can't get here soon enough. Tomorrow's a media mock draft. First 16 picks. Dan Hicken and Brent Martineau representing CBS 47 and Fox 30 and, of course, 1010 XL will be on the clock for the Jags about 10:15 tomorrow, as I believe is the way we plan to do it. We're going to do right off the top of the show, get the Bucks and the Titans out of the way, spend a full segment dissecting the Jags, and we'll go on from there, see how the first half plays out on Jaguars today. And then the boys of XL Primetime will pick up the torch with the 17th through 32nd picks and carry that into the early part of the afternoon. So that's going to do it for us today, as XL Primetime's on remote. So say hello on the other side to Joe C., Hacker, and T-Wig. For Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, thanks to Maurice Jones-Drew for stopping by. I'm Mike Dempsey. This has been Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.